Shalom, everyone. Welcome to the weekly conversation with Maitreya. It is open to everyone. You can raise your hand, ask your questions. Please keep your questions on topic, mission of Maitreya, Eternal Divine Path. We ask everyone to go to our website and learn the teaching first, so your questions will be on topic. Those who have not gone to our website and do not know our teachings will not have mic privileges. Be articulate and keep your questions in the spirit of learning and inquiry. Be a seeker and empty the cup of your previous knowing for the new wine of God. Keep the questions in the highest level. Ask about the teachings and be mindful that you are holding the energy at its highest. Questions will be taken in text also, but only one at a time. Treat the room as being in our cyber church and hearing a lecture. Please listen to the complete answer to your last question before typing another. If you would like to listen to his, Maitreya's, previous lectures or set songs, we already have them running 24 hours a day in the room discourses by Maitreya, God's Words Continuously, religious group section. Shalom.
Shalom, everyone. Let us be one in the one who is formless, nameless, invisible and eternal, who is the salvation of humanity, and we have to all realize that only the formless, invisible, nameless and eternal and this teaching will unify humanity and take them away from the ignorance and the Maya that they have fallen for the last 12,000 years. And now with this revelation, God has blessed them with understanding that indeed there is only one God, which all are His children. And now they can come together as one people under one God and become one. Indeed, anything you put in the pedestal that you make a god out of them, be it a religious figure, a political figure, and a statue, some psychological hang-up, or anything that is not formless, invisible, nameless, and eternal God, will become an obstacle in your path to God. And therefore humanity have to learn that only worship that ultimate essence and overcome all the obstacle in the path to that essence and God. With this teaching and these realizations, we can see that humanity is so engrossed in making idols out of many things external out of them, and they all become their idol and in their way to God. Indeed, humanity is deep in darkness and Maya and dogmas and destructive tendencies and realization, and they are separating one from the other by these gods they have created out of religious figures, prophets, teachers, mullahs, rabbis, fathers, brothers, Brahmins, and any other people that they take as something to worship and do not worship only God, which unifies them. Therefore, our task in this time is to break all these idols, as Abraham did at the time of Babylon the Great, as the story goes, of course, everybody knows the story that Babylonians used to worship a lot of idols, and they have one big idol in the middle, and the rest of them were smaller idols all around the big idols. And one day, Babylonians went out of town for a celebration of one of their many celebrations of these idols, and Ibrahim destroyed all the idols but the big one, and put the hammer at the hand of the big idol. And the Babylonian came, they saw that all idols are destroyed, and they asked Ibrahim what happened, and he said, well, the big idol got angry and destroyed all the small ones. Now the big idol could not do that, and Babylonian knew that, and they told him, no, you did it, and he cannot do anything such as what you're saying. And he said, well, if that is true, why you worship something that can do nothing of itself? So he destroyed their idols, and now it is teaching, of course, we are destroying psychological and emotional and political and religious and dogmatic idols that have plagued humanity for the last 12,000 years, and we are asking them to give up not only their idols, but also their egos, which create these idols and is like an umbrella between them and God. And one of the biggest problem many people and ego has is when they do something for God, they want to be thanked for and acknowledged. And of course, according to our teaching, all thanks go to God. That way, of course, we can realize that God is doing it through us, and therefore not to take any credit for what we do for God. Therefore, we can release our ego more and more and let God come through us. This all the great prophets have taught, as Christ said, you know, do good, but thanks God and praise God for what has done. Don't take any credit. Now, Prophet Muhammad said, the spear that you throw, it was not you who threw, but God threw it. Therefore, again, he is teaching the same thing, that God is coming through you. And of course, in any religion, the same thing has been taught, that we are not the doer, but God is. And although we say God did it through me, many people still have a hard time to really believing and realizing that indeed that is who is doing it. And therefore we want a credit. When we don't get it, we become very unhappy about that. So again, that is another idol destruction, which is the ego, which is between us and God. Indeed, if we can teach humanity to get rid of the ego and think like God, which is the whole universe, and think universal, we will shatter all the other idols easily, because then we are not attached to the specific religion or country or nationality or language or anything that narrows us to very small portion of the universe, but we shatter all the narrowness of the mind, and we expand ourselves to realize that the whole universe really belongs to us, and we belong to that universe, and therefore anything between us and the formless, invisible, nameless, and eternal can become an obstacle, and therefore we have to go through everything else to that finality, and therefore shatter all the idols between us and God. Indeed, God decides what should be done. Even when the Messiah comes and says, well, the great tribulation is going to come, the kingdom is at hand, the prophecies are fulfilled, and now it's the time to come together as one and realize that God has done all this thing. He's just a messenger. He's conveying the message that has already been decided is going to happen to humanity. It's saying, human, listen, God is a spirit, God is consciousness. He cannot come here and tell you this thing himself, but that is what he has decided, and that is the message of God, that the seven revelation that he prophesied to come has come to humanity. All the religions are unified. There is only one God, and all the religions are a part of a greater truth. It doesn't matter what they do to the messenger, as they have done before, shoot them, crucify them, stone them, chase them out of town. He is only a messenger. He is giving a decision that God already has made to you, as that's what God is going to do. And of course, this revelation also is been foretold to come to humanity at the end time, and this is indeed the end time, and that predicted, you know, in 15 years or by sometimes the very near future, the whole population will reach around 10 to 12 billion people on Earth very soon. And that indeed will bring a great destruction and upheaval, and even the stress on humanity and Earth will be in a greater degree. So all the signs are there that we need to realize and recognize that God created the whole universe for his creation and created creatures to reach out, to go out of space and spread and take the pressure from Earth. Therefore, we can see all the signs are there for humanity to recognize it is the end time, and the time for coming of this revelation is indeed at hand. Therefore, it's not surprising that God now sent this last revelation to humanity and explaining to them that all the religions of the world are from the same God, from the same essence, and each of these religions have a part of a greater truth. Of course, each religion have 1/7 of the truth. If you have only 1/7 information about a topic, you surely will make mistakes because you don't have the whole truth. And now we have the whole truth. And that is a part of our job, to let the humanity know that indeed all of them have some truth, but they don't have the whole truth. And if they insist with what they have no choice but to make a mistake and conclude to a conclusion which is not based on the whole information. You cannot make a decision based on 1/7 of the facts and say, well, my decision is correct. Einstein, have you ever been in our website? Please type on the text, have you only people who have been in our website? And apparently you haven't been in our website because you're asking who I am and what are the teachings are. And therefore, any question you might have, type it in the text. Go to our website, read and understand our teaching in depth, and come next week and then tell us what. It is not just a talking room. This is a educational room. The revelation that we talk about are already been perfected. Those who have seen the teaching and been on our website and have learned the teaching and have a question about the teaching are welcome to hear, come here and ask questions and further understand our teaching in a deeper level. Therefore, if you don't know about our teaching, you haven't been on our website, you do not have the mic privileges. And this is the rule of this room, and those who come in this room, of course, have to follow it. So we can all be comforted with this realization and revelation, and many people are coming to the mission and asking great questions, are comforted with the answers that they are receiving, and indeed many who are very aged and old, and they have been looking for the truth for many, many years, and they have not found it. When they come here and they receive the answer to their questions, they say it makes sense, and they are relieved that indeed their search is done and finished, and they have found the answer to all their questions that they ever had. They all say, we knew all these things, but we had never been able to put everything together the way it is done so neatly and clearly by God through this revelation. And indeed, that is true. There is no other teaching or revelation on earth that can explain everything and unify them together the way it's been done. That is the miracle of this mission. And many people come to our room and say, it is impossible to unify our religions. How can you unify Christianity with Islam, which have two different ideas of who Christ was? One says he was the Son of God. The other one says God doesn't have a son. And of course, the explanation in the mission is clear, concise, and truth. And then both read it and understand the concept of the Son of God. Both say, yes, that makes sense. Of course, God doesn't have a son who is made by God and Mary, but Christ was in the image of God and was in pure consciousness and presented the spirit of God and had overcome. Therefore, he is the Son of God. Therefore, we can come and see this truth, and the only thing we are asking those people who are in other religion is, you have only 1/7 of the truth, and therefore everything you say cannot be based on the conclusion from the whole information that they could have had. And therefore, you have made mistake because you didn't have the whole information. Now you have the whole information, and therefore you can come to the correct conclusion by realizing the whole truth. And therefore, you can become unified if you put your dogmas and your understanding, or with a misunderstanding, away and realizing that what God meant with the Son of God. Of course, Prophet Muhammad was objecting that God to make a child by Mary. If he hears what our teaching is, he would say, yeah, I never objected, you know, to that explanation. And that is the correct explanation, because that's what Prophet Muhammad taught too, that if you overcome, you will go to God and return to the Godhead and Allah, which means really God. It's not a name of God. Therefore, they are unified. They have been revealed to humanity in a piecemeal, in a separate revelation. And the only way we can see the whole picture and the truth of God is to see them as 1/7 of the truth. And the whole truth, the whole elephant, is the revelation of the seventh angel, or the revealer of the truth at the end time. And of course, this is it. It has come from God, He's fulfilled the prophecy. It is the opening of the seven seals. It has come from the line of tribe of Judah. It is come from a Sayyid. It is fulfillment of all the expectation of all the religion on earth, and therefore this is the only truth that is acceptable to God to be understood, contemplated on, realized, and accepted as your religion, as your guidance to the light, as the truth. The eternal divine path is the only and the fastest way to go to God. Of course, a lot of people also come and tell us, no, God is within us, and each of us have the truth, and we don't need a Messiah or a revealer or a prophet to come and tell us what to do. And of course, they have, again, a part of the truth. That is true. God and His essence is in everyone, and each of us have His essence in us, and therefore we can become that essence and reach Godhead, but at the same time, not everybody is in pure consciousness, and therefore we need a revelation and the Word of God, a manual, to use that manual to go to God. And though the holiest of the holies is that manual. It tells you how to go to God. And also, God says, those who come to me without following the eternal divine path, I will spew you out of my mouth, and they have to come back to this earth, and they cannot go to God by themselves. And also, God prophesied that there is only one revealer, one prophet, one Messiah, one who will come and bring all this together to humanity. And therefore, we have to expect of coming of that truth which now is on earth. Oregano is asking, with respect, can a prophet make an error as the Bab or Baha'u'llah or Shoghi Effendi, their guardian, i.e. the Baba, Bob's harsh ideas with his beautiful writings. According to our teachings, a prophet is a human, a regular human who is born from a woman, and God's way does not change, and this human who has been born from another human will raise, and eventually a spirit of God will come to them. Of course, we believe it is the same being that have come many times from the beginning as Adam, as Abraham, as Moses, as Christ, as Muhammad, as Bab, as all other revealer of truth to humanity. But of course, they are also human, and they usually don't make mistakes very often, but they could, as Prophet Muhammad once revealed a verse or revelation, and next day he recanted and said it was the devil who took over, and those words are not the word of God. Therefore, Prophet Muhammad made a mistake in that revelation, and Bab and Baha'u'llah, of course, are the only religion that God says it's not perfect. And indeed, the ethereal level is so beautiful, it is so enchanting, and those who do astral traveling and go to the ethereal level, they become so enchanted with the beauty of this state, as the words of Bab and Baha'u'llah are. Their words are fantastic, they're beautiful wording, and their words really capturing the heart and the mind of man. With all their beauty and revelation, God clearly states in this revelation that the fifth church is not perfect. Therefore, we can see God already knew that it will be in the way of those who see the beautiful full word of Bab and Baha'u'llah, and they are having a hard time to go over that beauty and go to the truth of the seven angels, which is mostly explanation, and each, of course, word in though every sentence, you can write 1,000 Quran in every sentence in the holiest of the holies, though the last testament. So that is itself a miracle, but at the same time, probably it is not as well and beautifully put the way Bab and Baha'u'llah were able to reveal their revelation in such a beautiful wordings. But the truth of the though is overwhelming for those who see the vision. Therefore, in Bab and Baha'u'llah and the Baha'i teaching is the only one, is an exception that God already said is not perfect. And when you are in the fifth level, actually you think you reached the ultimate pure consciousness and end of the journey, but you have not. Still you have two more states to go to reach to the seventh level. It is the revelation of the seventh seal is related to the seventh state of human consciousness, and in the fifth state of human consciousness, those who are trapped in ethereal level have the same problem. They cannot believe there can be anything more beautiful than what they already have received. But indeed, there is two more states that they have to go through. Therefore, Baha'is, they have to understand these truths that God has already revealed to humanity. They have to see themselves at the fifth revelation, and is not the ultimate and the end revelation. With this understanding, we can see that, yes, indeed, none of the revelation before this one is perfect, and all of them only is one-seventh of the truth. Of course, mystical path is the spirit of all the religion, and they all, affect all the truth. And the Jews, of course, Judaism is waiting for Messiah to come. Judaism, which is really affected a lot with the Zoroastrian those teachings. And Christianity, of course, says that Christ is the only way, and they have one segment of the truth that their conclusion is not completely incorrect, but at the same time, Christ came seven times, so he is the only way in a sense of the seven times and all that. And Muslim is waiting for Mehdi to come, and of course, Bab also talked about he who will be manifest. He didn't say he's going to manifest in 19 years. He said in the future, way ahead of, after him. But of course, Baha'u'llah claimed he is the one who is, Bab was talking about. Of course, we know better that he was chosen to bring the Baha'i teaching to the West. If he had not taken over, Bab and his teaching would have never come to the West, and therefore Baha'u'llah was chosen to accomplish that important task. And of course, they also fulfilled the prophecy of coming of twin prophets by God. And of course, Baba came as the expected Shiva at this time that in prophesied to come, and now is the whole teaching that have come to humanity. And but also when the fifth seal, the people who were martyred with the white robe cried to God, then when our work will be done and the kingdom will come, God said you have to wait a short time. Of course, the short time can be 200 years for God, and so therefore the last revelation comes now. Ergana is asking, thank you for your compassionate answer. you're welcome, and indeed God loves all his revealer, and we are not against any great prophets and those who came before us. We appreciate what they have done and brought these revelation. All of them went through great struggle. They went through a lot of persecution problem that they had. None of them really had a easy life. Of course, in this revelation, God is very protective of this revelation. Indeed, He created a nation that has the law of freedom of religion, and therefore we can preach this here without being prosecuted or stoned. Of course, you know, we have been having a lot of cyber stone which has been thrown at us, who people come to our room and yell and curse and all that. But of course, God made it this way so we can preach this to those who have the ears to hear and eyes to see without being crucified in a greater degree. And therefore, God has been very good to this mission in that sense. But at the same time, of course, even now, it's not been easy psychologically, emotionally, and all that. But of course, when God wants you to do something, you have no choice. You will do them. Therefore, we do appreciate Bob. We do appreciate Baha'u'llah. They all were great prophets of God, and we do accept them as such. And we, of course, call all the Baha'is and Babis and Azalis and Muslim and Hindus and Buddhists and Christian and Jews and all the others who might be on earth that come and join the seventh revelation and perfect your religion that it's already been perfect revealed to humanity. Snow is asking, how do I express the absolute love of my soul for God? Well, you have to let God come through you by following the eternal divine path, our teachings, which is based on five steps. First of all, awaken your spiritual forces, meditate, contemplate, concentrate, read the scriptures, and know that your essence is the essence of God, and therefore you can express the qualities of God by becoming your essence. Of course, God is not only love, God just is. You can put anything in front of is, and God become it. Therefore, God is everything. And, of course, He also has the absolute love. And it is very hard for a human in the body to express the absolute, but you can get close. And if you ever felt or have a vision of love of God, you will realize that His love is millions and billions times greater than any human can even imagine or express on earth to to humanity. But you can get close by awakening our spiritual forces, realizing that we need a environment that everybody meditate and awaken the spiritual forces, then sacrifice to create such an environment and surrender and submit to the will of God for you in the process of creating such an environment and shatter all narrowness of the mind by becoming universalist and therefore become an elect. An elect or the person who have gone through the first five steps, awakening of spiritual forces, which unifies all the mystical paths, creation of the communist of light or an environment that everybody can reach that, a state which is Judaism or Hebrews or the Old Testament, sacrifice, which is New Testament, surrendering and submission, is Islam, and shattering all of the narrowness of the mind, which is the Baha'i and Bab's teachings, you will become an elect. You will manifest God's quality and shatter ego and let God come through you. And by letting God come through you, of course, you will do godly things, you will do godly actions, and you manifest God's qualities, which one of them is absolute love of the universe because everything is against you. But you will have more than love. You will have compassion. Compassion is better than love. Love can be unconditional. And if we have unconditional love for our child or children, we might just spoil them and make a child that will not progress in their life. But if we have compassion, we will have fatherly or motherly love, and therefore we not only love them, but we guide them to our becoming independent individuals that they can be useful and productive in the society. Therefore, reach for compassion of God, which is corrective love, and therefore not only you love them, but you guide them at the same time. By understanding our teachings and realizing that each of these steps is presented with one religion and world, not only you have a great path to follow to shatter the narrowness of the mind and ego and attachments and the things that we have been talking for last 20-some years, but also you see that all religions have come from the same God, and you can guide humanity to overcome their dogmas and destructive tendencies that so badly is destroying our earth and humanity. Therefore, this teaching and following it will guide you to great realization of God and bringing Him to humanity and unifying them, and you have a great path to follow to God. This is the fastest way to come to God and realizing how you can shatter all the obstacle in your path to reach Godhead. Therefore, my recommendation and answer to your question is eternal divine path. It is eternal because it has been and have come from the eternity. It is divine because it leads you to divinity or oneness with God. And that's why anybody who follows eternal divine path is called a divine. A divine person is he who follows eternal divine path. And it is a path, it is a way, it doesn't have any dogmas. You don't have to believe in any dogma or any rituals or anything. Just by following this path, you will reap the benefit. Of course, if you do not follow it, you won't. And if you think by knowing just the eternal divine path, you reap the benefit, that's not going to work. You have to be dedicated to the path and that realization that indeed it is a call of God to you, and therefore you have to respond to it. The more you respond to it and you become one with it, greater benefit you will reap from it. The more you become lukewarm and stay away and you do not respond to the call, of course, you will not benefit as much. Therefore, the way has been given clearly to humanity now, that is a path. It is not dogmas. You don't have to believe in any a set of dogma to go to God. It is a way. It is action that shows how sincere you are. That's what God says. You know them by their fruits. Fruit means action. You know, if you don't take action, of course, you don't give any fruit. And, of course, we know them by their fruits, and it is easily recognized who gives fruit, who doesn't. Who gives fruit is he who goes to God and become more and more elect. The one who doesn't give fruit, of course, is like that fig tree that Christ went to it, but there was no fig in it, but for all leaves, so it withered away and could not give any fruit. And of course, those who stay to the end also will be saved. These are two criteria. We know the elect, and also you know the truth that is the revealed truth, this mission, by realizing the vision, the prophecies, the genealogy, the everything that God has given to you to make your mind and see the truth based on the scriptures. Therefore, God indeed has sent this to you, and now it is your responsibility to go, to seek, to look, to understand, to realize that indeed this is what God said will send to humanity and in time, and we are at the end time. This is of the time of sundering, the wheat from the chaff, and of course the wheat are the elected ones. It is so interesting that God is only looking for 144,000 elect from 6 billion people. And you can see it's really a drop in a bucket if you, you know, really realize how ego, how powerful the Maya and ego is. And the number you're looking is not that much. Shirin, have a question? Go ahead, Shirin, ask.
So, Maitreya and everyone, I'm trying to understand something in a deeper level in Revelation of the Revelation. This is about the seven thunders uttered their voices. And for everyone that's got their show, it's in tablet 20, page 360. And people come into the room and they say, well, who are the seven thunders? What are the seven thunders? And, of course, they have their dogmas about it. But I'd like to understand more about the seven thunders. It sounds like the seven thunders, as I'm reading this section over and over, are the loud voices that come and support the intellectual knowledge that humanity has been under domination of, and the little book. And then the verse that we quote all the time in Revelation 10:7, it begins with the sentence, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. So I'm just trying to understand, again, that seven thunders symbology.
Is there any explanation in the Revelation of Revelation after that verse?
The one about the seven thunders?
Yes. Is there any explanation given after that verse in Zoe?
Yes, it talks about that the seven thunders, as I'm understanding it, are the loud voices. They uttered their voices, and they would be like the science and the intellect and all the loud noises of those voices that put God out, and they put they think they're superior to spiritual understanding. And so it's the loud thunders. It reminds me of like the comparison to the Indian music, all the loud foreground noise. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, it's the quiet, still voice that we're supposed to be looking for.
Okay, do I have the explanation in front of you?
I've got the verse here. It's verse 6. It talks about, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And it goes into, do you want me to read the whole section?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead. Read the whole thing.
Okay, it continues. Intellectual knowledge gained power in the last century, and many great discoveries of the truth of the world were revealed to humanity, such as the theory of evolution. Then the greatest of the intellect and scientific discoveries sounded so loudly that many people discredited religions and thought the scriptures were opposing science. Even religions and intellectual knowledge seemed contradictory because of the lack of understanding the truth beyond the scriptures. That is why when the angel presented the little book with such a loud voice, others also backed up this belief.
Mm-hmm.
Seven thunders uttered their voices, that science and intellect are superior to spiritual understanding and religion.
Okay, yeah, well, that is the answer right there, that indeed, after we brought this revelation to humanity in 1982, the world really have gone even more toward intellectualization, and many voices talking about many different things, and they are trying to drown actually this revelation with all these thunder that have come from all corners of the earth, and that completely goes well with our teaching that, and that explanation there in the revelation that the intellectuals, they put God absolutely out of all levels of human existence at this time, and anything is godly and natural and made by God has been taken out and replaced with ungodly and unacceptable and an unnatural understanding, and whatever is godly and natural is ungodly and unacceptable to intellectual, and whatever is not godly is acceptable and it's okay. Actually, if you represent God ideas, you know, they look at you like you're from another planet or something, and it's not even politically correct to be godly, but politically is correct if you're not. And therefore we can see this teaching is being drowned in these seven thunders, and of course they will not succeed, because as we have seen all through history, when God says he will bring something or do something, he will do that and bring it and fulfill the prophecy and his words to the end. Therefore, our salvation is to recognize and realize that God's kingdom will come. And no matter how few our numbers are and how strong and powerful the sound of the seven thunders are, that thunder and those teachings not godly will eventually destroy those who follow them. Because that is the problem with ego and understanding based on ego but not God. The very ego itself destroys itself at the end. And we can see that later on, of course, Babylon the Great, which this world will fall, and the kingdom of God will come eventually to humanity. So you're correct. It's absolutely those seven thunders are the voices that opposes the revelation of the seventh angel. And no wonder that we are so few people after 20 years of preaching and reaching to humanity. And even those who are with us, some of them still, you know, they have their ego intact and they have a hard time to get rid of it. Therefore, we have to be patient and wait for the elects to emerge in this mission. And as they, of course, emerge more and more, they become greater people based on the eternal divine path and our teachings. And they can create the facilitating body and eventually reach to humanity in a greater degree, and wait until the evolutionary process reaches a point that those seven thunder will not have any thunder anymore, but they become weak and destroy themselves, and then we have a viable and godly organization based on the eternal divine path, and we will replace the old, which have great voice and sounds great, but doesn't have the truth. It is not based on God and his spirit, and therefore they will fall in a great fall that has been, you know, prophesied will come to them. For we are few, we are a struggling elect, and in this lifetime also it's not surprising that God prophesied that it is going to be a thief of the night. We will come very quietly. We bring this revelation to humanity, but the few people who will see it will come together. They will struggle. They are going to have a hard time because we are few in the ocean of Maya, in the ocean of people that they have not seen the vision. They cannot see the vision, and they are attached to many, many idols, their religion, their nationality, their language, their genders, their own ideas and understanding. And everybody thinks they are great teachers, and they come even to our room and they have their opinion and ideas, but which is not the based on the word of God. The word of God says there's going to be seven revelation, and that is what they meant and all that. Therefore, we'll see that Our task is to reach out to humanity, educate them, let them know the truth about these teachings, and be dedicated ourselves and not to become lukewarm and back off from our work, but continuously and continually preach and reach and come back next lifetime and do the same thing. And, of course, in the next lifetime, it's going to be implementation of this teaching. This lifetime is just explanation and spreading of the mission. And the next lifetime is going to be implementation. And, of course, the third incarnation is going to be the execution. That is when, indeed, the kingdom of God will come to earth. Therefore, we are pioneers, and pioneers don't have the easiest task in their hand, but they are the ones that will bring greatest changes to human existence. And all the pioneers, they're not accepted easily, just like Galileo, but when he said the earth moves and have a motion, of course, Catholic Church, you know, made him, you know, recant his scientific, you know, understanding, but he said, "But I stay," moves. He didn't give up. He, at the even last moment, he would not, you know, back off because he knew the truth. And that's exactly who we are. We know the truth, you know, and we're not going to back off for what we know in our heart of our hearts to be the truth. It is from God, and God sent seven revelations. Therefore, we will continue preaching and reaching to humanity and telling them about them. And, of course, we will wait for the elects to emerge from this 6 million people, 144,000 elect, and a couple of millions of supporters that support these elects to spread these teachings to humanity. And we shall return. They can do whatever they want. You know, they crucified Christ. Did they stop his teachings? No. God was with him. And therefore, he succeeded even though they crucified him. They stoned Prophet Muhammad. Did they succeed? No, they did not. They still didn't win because he eventually created Islam. You know, they shot Bob and killed him, you know. Did they stop him? No. God chose Baha'u'llah to come and spread his message to the West, and now we know that his writing is beautiful and all that. So you can see you cannot stop God, and the humanity have to realize, and those seven thunders, they have to thunder as loud as they want, but eventually they will not succeed because it is man-made. Whatever is man-made is from ego, and it will not succeed, and whatever is God is from the spirit, and it will. Therefore, we have to clean up our spirit. We have to understand this teaching. We have to realize the seventh revelation, the eternal divine path, and start following the eternal divine path and become an elect. And the more we can have of the elects, of course, the greater our outreach will be. And the number, of course, is the hand of God. The more number we create and the more people see this vision, the greater power and greater outreach we will have. Therefore, we are waiting. We are sitting here and preaching and reaching and waiting for the elects to see this clearly and come forward and say, "Yes, that makes sense. It's from God. It is a great vision. It is oneness of humanity. It is prophesied to come. It is based on the word of God. And therefore, it is a call for me. And my life belongs to this revelation. And I am absolutely one with it. And I have no choice but to be a part of it." And therefore, you connect yourself to God. And you see, yes, you are indeed my brother. You are my worker. We are together to do this great task for God. And therefore, we will become co-workers, and me as the heart of the hierarchy and the focus point for all of you to become one. And like a nucleus of an atom, like a nucleus of a cell in the body. You know, there has to be a nucleus in order to create a cell, create an atom. Without nucleus, there is no oneness and creation. Of course, there can be two nucleus. If there's two nucleus, of course, there is separation again and destruction. Therefore, we focus on this wonderful revelation from God, and we wait and see who will emerge as the elects, and we will be patient with this process, and eventually those seven thunders will lose their power, and they will fall. And that's why we are not a revolutionary organization. We are an evolutionary organization. This process will evolve. The more people see this vision and see the truth and realize they have to put their dogmas away and understand the truth of God and the Word of God, the more they can come together as one and create the kingdom of God on earth. And we are the victorious because we follow the Spirit of God, and that will win. If it is not from the Spirit of God, I will not be here, and because I want to be the victorious one. I want to be the winner at the end. And at the end, we are the winner for sure. With this understanding, of course, we have no reason to be unhappy or get burned out or anything, because we know we are marching to the end and bring the kingdom on earth, and we should be in fire, and we should teach everybody to be in fire. I hope these teachings again clarified and understood more for all of you. We are at the end of our time. I will pause and see if there are any questions left. If you have any other questions, this is the time to raise your hand or type on the text. Otherwise, of course, everything is given and explained and re-explained in the website. There are tons of information and questions answered, and every day, of course, it's been added to them. And this room, of course, is mostly for the people who go there, study them, see the vision. They have questions, come here, and or come here. Other people ask questions, and they benefit from it. So, in a sense, this revelation is done. It's finished. It's given to you in perfection. And this is the most perfect religion for humanity to realize and recognize and become one with it and go to God. Hope I'll see you all in God and with God and as one in the one, and be one with each other. Go beyond your language, your nationality, your gender, a religion. Become one body in God and be one in essence in this great endeavor together. Okay, we have a question here, I guess. I thought we are done, but Brahmamurti is asking, what is definition of knowledge? Well, knowledge is gaining the understanding of a topic and knowing about it. And of course, knowledge can be intellectual knowledge. It can be practical knowledge. It can be a spiritual knowledge. The intellectual knowledge is reading books and understanding intellectual aspect of a topic, which of course always is not one, and many explanations can bring confusion. Practical knowledge is knowing how to do something practically, how to make a chair, or you know, how to make an atomic, you know, energy, and any you know, practical knowledge can be useful in external world, or a spiritual knowledge which come from the scriptures, come from the revelation of God, and ultimately, of course, come from within by recognizing and realizing, yes, indeed, God created this universe for this purpose, and each part of it have dharma or innate nature, and everybody should follow that innate nature if they want to bring God and His Spirit in their own life, in their own community, in their family. And the more we can bring God and the natural way that created things, you know, the more godly our environment will be. Therefore, knowledge can be different levels too. You know, from ignorance, passion, or knowledge. Passion is the practical knowledge that it helps us in the world. Probably ignorance is the intellectual knowledge that we have our own ideas, but it's not God's idea. And knowledge is the spirit that gives you the great knowledge of the spirit within. I hope that answers your questions. Is there any other questions left? Okay, then, be in God, be with God, and let God come through. Understand the teaching, preach it. Let the fire of God come and burn all impurities in you, and let God indeed come and bring the truth to us. How does one handle overwhelming personal catastrophe? Recognizing that no matter how big a catastrophe it is, compared with the universe and God and the vision of the whole is very small, what we think is catastrophe. And of course, if it's really something is affecting your life, you have to look into it to see how you can overcome it and improve the situation and get out of the catastrophe. I don't know if you have any specific situation you want to explain, Oregano. Maybe we can look at that. But in general, catastrophe to every human is compared with the universe is so small that we think it is personal and we feel very bad about it, but compared with the whole universe is not that bad. Does God have a sense of humor? He sure does. He always laughs and laughs and laughs and laughs, and whenever he sees humans are so gross in this world and they think their trouble or problem is so big, they indeed, you know, he laughs at them that they cannot see, you know, so small their, you know, problem is compared with the universe. At the end, when God comes to humanity, all humans come to God and complain how bad their situation was, and they want to change their situation to something better. He says, okay, take all your problems that you think is the worst in the universe and hang it in that big tree that God creates for them. And each of them take their problem and hang it in the tree. And God says, okay, now go around and pick up the one that you think is less than yours. All of them go around, look at the problem on other people and everything. And at the end, everybody goes and pick up their own problem and says, no, thank you. I don't want anybody else's problem. So we can see it is our ego and our, you know, a small vision that make us think we have more problem than anybody else. And therefore, God laughs all the time at our ego and misunderstanding and all that. Okay, there's other questions. If there was any other question I missed, you know, can you send it to me? Okay, I don't see any other question. Let us end this session here and be with God. Maybe I see you next week. Shalom.